Morning. I have my next illustration where I'm illustrating two rocks. Now I have to use this picture because at home on my dinette table are these two rocks that I meant to bring with me this morning so you could see them. I'm sitting there for the children's message at early service, just enjoying the early message, and all of a sudden I go, where are the rocks? I left them at home. Oh, well, thank you for at least smiling a little bit. It is, These rocks I picked up several years ago on a pilgrimage I made to Israel. In Israel, just a mile east of Jerusalem, you're already out in the desert today. There's the Kidron Valley, then the Garden of Gethsemane, the Mount of Olives. On the top of that hill, it's not really a mountain, is Bethany. And right beyond Bethany is the Judean wilderness. It stretches out. The message today was talking about the guy that was robbed along the path that you probably can't make out in this picture. But it's the path that leads up to Jerusalem, down from Jerusalem to Jericho. You can go 2 days out in the desert between Jerusalem and Jericho. I was in this Judean wilderness high on a hill when I took this picture, looking down on that footpath that Jesus referenced in the story today, that Jesus had undoubtedly taken many times yourself. It's kind of dark, but in the distance a little bit, down in one of the low areas, there's some green bushes, low trees. If there's green in the middle of desert, what do you think is also there? Pastor doesn't really ask you guys questions, does he? I do. It's the only way I can keep people awake. I'm not supposed to admit that. Yeah, that's water down there. And it kind of makes sense. We're up high on a hill. That's where it's easy to build a road today. I was in an air-conditioned bus, and this was taken in November. I was in an air-conditioned bus, and we used the air conditioning in November. Down low is where the water is. The old footpath would be there, too. Undoubtedly, Jesus was on that footpath. Off in the distance to the right, Jericho's down there. Just beyond Jericho is the Jordan River. Up the other side, the Judean wilderness continues. That Jordan River, that portion down low, is probably where John did much of his baptizing. Do you remember one word that John used to say a lot? We said it earlier today, too, that John said an awful lot. What was his message? That's a word that we don't hear anywhere else except on Sunday mornings or in Bible when you read it. What's that word? Repent. Ask for forgiveness of your sins and vow to turn away from that which caused you to sin. Repent. Bear fruit in keeping with repentance. I got to look down and look on my script because those are highfalutin words. Bear fruit in keeping with repentance means be more like Christ. Repent. Don't imagine because you were raised in the church. Don't imagine because you had great parents who opened your eyes and your hearts to the wonders of God. Or because you're a good person and only have good people as your friends. Don't imagine that any of that gets you anywhere with God. The crowds around John the Baptist were Jews. Abraham was their father, they would be quick to tell you. But John saw mountains of rocks all around him. Yeah, a whole bunch of rocks. Billions and billions of rocks. He said that God could instead create new children of Abraham from all those rocks. Now, this is the point in time when I would show you that rough rock that was on the one side of the screen. Can't you see it? Here it is. It's a rough rock. I took it intending to bring it here for you to see from that spot where I took this picture. It's rough. Its edges are rugged, sharp. Probably not a drop of rain had touched that stone in years. Just like the billions of other rocks that are there. How useful is a rock? How useful can a rock be? Do you remember what happened in 1 Samuel chapter 17? Everybody does, don't you? You know something? I'm prepared to tell y'all that I had Good Shepherd in Florence. I used this illustration, and one of the ladies told me the answer to that. And I was flabbergasted. I don't know a pastor that could tell you that off the top of his head, 1 Samuel 17. You want to know something weird? There was a lady at early church that was mouthing it. Because you guys don't talk during the sermons. You know, you see, but I could tell. She said, David and Goliath. Two people now I got to brag on that knew what happened in 1 Samuel chapter 17. Let me read a few verses from there. Now the Philistines gathered their armies for battle, and they were gathered at Socoh, which belongs to Judah. So the Philistines had already invaded, and they were in Judean territory. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered and encamped in the valley of Elah, and drew up in line of battle against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on the mountain on one side, Israel stood on the mountain on the other side, with a valley between them. Now I'm standing at the north end of the valley of Elah, looking across a field that has been evened out real nicely for agriculture. It's November, so there aren't any crops planted at that time. I've been there during, well, you can't see it nearly as well with everything. It's a mess. Now, I like this picture because you can see real clearly. Off to the right-hand side of the picture is where the Philistines were. And this is the mountain, the Bible says, where Saul and his troops were, looking to the southeast. And up in those mountains, David was. And he came down that hill, and right on the eastern edge of that hill was a creek. David steps into that creek, looks down, finds five smooth, small stones, puts them in his pouch, steps out of the creek, keeps going across the field to meet Goliath, reaches into his pouch, grabs one of the five stones, and with his sling, plants that stone deep into the forehead of Goliath and killed him. Now would be the time when I would have showed you a smooth stone that I took from that same stream that I think is really kind of cool. It's smooth. It's not rough. Its rough edges have been worn down. How useful was the rock that David used to take Goliath's life and save Israel? And if you think about it, if he hadn't used that little rock, the Philistines undoubtedly would have won, wiped out the people of Israel, and where would we be today? That little stone permanently changed history. How useful is a rock? Do you remember when Jesus asked his disciples who he said he was? Pastor Hirth assigned me a Bible passage to teach at Bible study this morning, and I want you all to tell him, whether you were there or not, that I faithfully carried out his requirement of me. Jesus was at Caesarea Philippi, a pagan area, with his disciples, teaching them. And he said, "Who do the people say this is? I am." And they give all sorts of different answers. And then he says, "Who do you say that I am?" And who spoke up? Peter spoke up. In Greek, his name is Petrus. Do you know what the word Petrus means? Yeah. Peter says, "You are the Son of the living God." And Jesus says, "On that profession of faith will I build my church." How useful is a rock? Remember Golgotha? A rocky place. It's still there on the north side of Jerusalem today. There's vegetation there. It's not solid rock, but you wouldn't want to try and grow any crops there. A rocky place. It's the meeting ground for the road coming into Jerusalem from up north, and that road that comes up, that we talked about in the gospel lesson, that comes up from Jericho. They meet just outside of the gate leading into Jerusalem on the north side. They meet, and that's the spot that the Romans had probably executed by crucifixion, over hundreds of people perhaps, as a warning to the people, don't rebel against the Romans. It was here on this rocky place called Golgotha that Jesus earned the forgiveness of sins for all mankind, from Adam and Eve to the last person that God ever creates. It is here that our Savior earned our forgiveness. But you know, if Golgotha were the end of the story, and Jesus only died on that Friday we call good, St. Paul says our faith would be foolishness. Not far from Golgotha was a tomb. This is a picture in the garden tomb of a tomb that is close to Golgotha. Whether this is the tomb, it could very well have been, or not, doesn't really matter. The tomb was there. They laid him in the tomb. And 3 days later, the stone was rolled away, and he began showing himself to others alive. Now, you see me holding up that wilderness stone again. A rock like this could be useful, but right now, A stone like that is untested. It's untrue. Its rough edges are still there. The smooth rock has been worn smooth. Maybe it started out looking like that wilderness rock. But tumbling in that stream, banging against other rocks, its rough edges had worn down and it became smooth. But it didn't have an easy way of getting to that place. It was not fun. Where are you? Are you an untested, untried rock, a hard-headed rock, which God's word, you might hear it, but you don't take it in? Repent and return to being that rock whose faith is clear and obvious. Be the rock who knows that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, that he is not a carving or a tree or a product of someone's imagination. Be the smooth rock, the instrument of God to be used in ways perhaps only he knows about. Who would have thought that a small, smooth rock that a moment before had been sitting in the bottom of a stream like hundreds of others would now slay Goliath? But in the hands of David, who was himself in the hands of the Lord, our real rock, whom we are to emulate, join with other rocks as a community of faith, solidly, even defiantly aligned with God and his will. As numerous as the rocks in the wilderness, as numerous as the children of Abraham, join with other rocks whose hope of heaven rests solely on the forgiveness that Jesus earned, as we strive each day to become more like Christ. Always for his glory and for our sakes. Amen. May the peace of God be with you.